Today is the day of Pentecost. It's also for us a time when we share in the sacrament of baptism, and we'll be sprinkling some water over a baby's head, a carry's head. That's quite a peculiar thing to do. And you might wonder, well, what does it mean when we put water on a baby's head? Well, you know, some people never bother their heads over this question. They never bother to think about it. It's what we've always done in the church. It's what everybody else does. Why make it complicated? Others with more claim to be thinking, reasonable people answer that the reason we use water and put it on a baby's head is that it's what Jesus did. It's there in the Bible, isn't it? Well, I'm sorry, but Jesus may have baptized babies, but the Bible doesn't actually say that he did. Doesn't tell us of any instance of Jesus baptizing babies or baptizing children or adults. So let's go to the origins and ask where baptism came from. Where do we get this notion of baptizing babies if it's not from Jesus? Well, the Bible says that the Jews are God's chosen people. That's one of the things the Church of Scotland has blown it this week in their report on Israel. They've forgotten that fact, that the Bible tells us the Jews are the chosen people and we are grafted on to Israel as a Gentile, as Gentile believers. We do not replace the Jewish people. And the Jews are God's chosen people because they are chosen. They were chosen to get to know God first. And then they were to tell the world about God. And everyone who was born of Jewish parents was automatically one of the chosen people. Little boys were admitted to the people of God when they were 8 days old. Although in those days there was no similar ceremony for girls as there is today. But someone who wasn't born a Jew could also become one of God's people if they wanted to. And to do that, they had to make a public statement that they believed in God. They had to make that statement of belief in God, and they also had to declare that they would obey the Ten Commandments, these laws that God gave the people through his servant Moses. And then, having declared their belief in God, having declared allegiance, obedience to the Ten Commandments, they were washed. And that washing was a symbol. It meant that they were washing away all of the wrong things they had believed about God when they were heathens. And they were washed clean of all the wrong things they had done in the past, the dual washing. A washing from all the things they believed wrongly about God and all the wrong things they had done in their past. And they called this the washing, or the baptism of converts. Chris, just a few moments ago, read from the start of Mark's Gospel, and we encountered John the Baptist. And John the Baptist took this idea of the washing or the baptism of converts. He took it over. And John the Baptist said that everyone should be baptized, even Jews. And he said that even Jews should be baptized to show that they had made a personal decision to obey God and to worship him. John the Baptist was recognizing that it was no longer good enough just to be born into a family and then you were assumed to be one of the people of God. You had to make a conscious decision for yourself to be a believer in the living God, to obey him, to worship him. And so John said that even the Jews should be baptized. If they've made that decision to obey God and worship him, they should be baptized to declare that they were sorry for their sins and that they wanted God to forgive them. And the Bible calls this a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. It was something almost entirely new that God was doing through John out there in the desert in Israel at the time of Jesus. The transition from the sacrifice in the temple towards the sacrifice of Jesus once for all on the cross was beginning with John the Baptist and his baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins for all people. And yet, this kind of baptism, as we read of it, a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, basically meant that it was a baptism for grown-ups, those who were old enough to make this personal decision to obey God and to worship God, to recognize their sin. It was basically meant for grown-ups, not children. But what the Bible does say, however, is that on different occasions after that, a man called Stephanas in Corinth, Crispus, who was a jailer in Philippi, and a widow called Lydia, they were baptized along with their whole household. That's what Scripture says. The baptism extended from the one Jewish believer or non-Jewish believer being baptized, a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, and it was beginning to move on when people came to faith that they were baptized along with their whole household. And that probably included the children. And yet we can't be absolutely certain because it's not actually written down that the children in these households were baptized. We think it's likely, probable. So why do we baptize children? Why do we baptize babies? Well, a number of years ago, there was a very helpful little book written by the Reverend Michael Green. It was entitled Baptism, Its Purpose, Practice and Power. And in that book, Michael Green really looked back over the course of church history and gave a very clear and concise account of why the church had decided that it was permissible from Scripture to baptize babies. And he lists 7 reasons for baptizing babies of parents who are believing Christians. And these are, firstly, that children were admitted into the Jewish people when they were babies. The children that we read of before Jesus, before John the Baptist, were admitted into the people of God when they were babies, into the Jewish religion. So why would it be different for the Christian people? And then secondly, of course, the whole family was baptized when heathen converts became Jews. Whole families were baptized and brought in to the Christian family. Complete households were baptized into the Jewish faith, first of all, when someone who was a Gentile wanted to believe in the Jewish God, and so too, thirdly, complete households baptized in the New Testament times. It's little different. And then fourthly, we have this amazing story of parents bringing children to Jesus and the disciples recognizing Jesus was tired and trying to keep the parents and their children away from him. And Jesus saying, no, let the children come to me. Don't try to stop them. And the Bible tells us that Jesus blessed the children. Another reason for assuming that children are included in this baptism. The blessing of the children by Jesus. And then, of course, we have to pay attention to the practice of the church throughout the many centuries of its existence, as we've been led by the Holy Spirit, and as the ancient councils and courts of the church read Scripture and formulated our Christian doctrine that has stood us well for these past 2,000 years. And the tradition of the church is so important as well. And throughout its history, the Christian church has baptized babies. It's not some new innovation. And then sixthly, infant baptism stresses that God actually does something new for us when he welcomes us into his family. It makes a change in us, even if we don't understand what that change is. Baptism makes a change in us because we are then part of the worldwide family of God, the church. And seventh, Michael Green says, God takes the initiative. God reaches out to us long before we are able to reach out to him. I love that painting on the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel in the Vatican in Rome, the hand of God reaching out and the hand of man responding to God reaching out to us. That's what we do in baptism. We respond to God. Michael Green very helpfully summarized the whole of Christian tradition, Christian history, Christian doctrine, and what Scripture says about baptism in that book, Baptism, Its Purpose, Practice, and Power. It's been reprinted many times, a helpful book. And many, many people are convinced that these are good reasons for baptizing babies. It should be said, though, that other people are not so sure. And they say that people should only be baptized after they have made an adult decision to follow Jesus. Now, the Baptist Church, of course, are well known for this. They only baptize adult believers, not children. And yet, Scripture is clear that that is a right thing to do as well, to baptize adult believers. We hear of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, the man who, when Scripture was explained to him, suddenly saw truth revealed to himself, and he asked to be baptized, and Philip baptized the adult believer, the Ethiopian eunuch. But we, in our tradition, baptize children. We accept these seven reasons. And if you do accept these seven reasons, then every one of them assumes that the parent of the children who are being baptized, or at least one of the parents, or grandparents perhaps, is a Christian believer. And the words of the service of baptism ask a parent to make some very solemn promises about bringing up their child as a Christian. And it would be unfair to expect parents to stand up and make these promises in public without knowing in advance the kind of promise that they had to make or the kind of thing they had to sign up to. So like me, most ministers, before baptizing a baby, try to meet the parents beforehand to explain the service to them. Sometimes there needs to be more than one meeting to discuss what baptism is all about. And it's usual to expect parents to bring their baby to church with them so that they can know what kind of family their church is going to be joining, their child is going to be joining. And also so that the congregation can show that they are willing to help the parents teach their children about Jesus. And without that kind of preparation, without a family, where possible, belonging to a local church family, without parents themselves being believers in Jesus Christ, then sprinkling a bit of water on a baby's head is really a bit of nonsense. But with it, baptism becomes a glorious way of showing God's love for the child and for each one of us, whether we are able to understand it or not. Let's pray.